I mean, I first noticed what I was different when I was about 6, and that was a long time ago, and I knew I was a bit different, but it really came to a head when I was in, sort of, before I reached my teens, and I knew that something wasn't quite right, and I kind of liked girls, but back then I kind of liked girls, but I didn't want to be, a girl with a girl. That's not how I felt it was should be for me. And back then, my only knowledge about lesbians was like Martina Navratilova and people like that, and I didn't find them attractive at all. And we had a local, somebody who was a lesbian, and I didn't find her attractive, and so I assumed that obviously I wasn't meant to be one. I didn't realise that lesbians come in all different shapes and sizes, and within themselves are very diverse. So that's when I first realised that I was different. But it took many, many years until I was 40, for me actually to acknowledge. I felt able to acknowledge that I was, at that time, I came out as gay, I came out as a lesbian, and it felt right for probably a few years. I felt okay about it. It never sat right with me, I never felt very comfortable, and it wasn't long before I met somebody who was a trans man. And it was just like a thunderbolt. It was, I think I was just kind of shocked, really, that I could transition. I found out lots about it. I did an awful lot of research, and I met up with quite a few trans men, and I realised that actually this was what I wanted to do. There started a kind of a whirlwind, I suppose. I mean, coming out at 40, and I think by 42, 43, I was already on the road to transition. I was aged 44 when I started taking hormones. So really, I mean, in the space of like 4 years, I just kind of went from not knowing who I was to transition, which is quite quick, really.
Okay, can we just go back a bit then?
Sure.
So up until the time you were 40, how did you see yourself then?
Up until I was, that was a huge space of time. I kind of just resigned myself to the fact that I had to live a heterosexual life. I didn't know what else to do, really. I just wanted to fit in. I think that's the thing. I wanted to fit in. And so I made myself do it. And it wasn't easy. It was very frustrating. And I had a lot of different relationships, a lot of flings. And I think for the last... I suppose the last few years before I was 40, I was in a relationship with a guy, and for the most part, it was a really good relationship. We had a good time, and we did lots of things, and we had motorbikes in common, and it worked very well. But there was just something missing for me. I just felt that I couldn't fulfil the whole female role. Of being really feminine and dressing up and I did whenever I did dress up on special occasions, you know, like birthdays or whatever, in a dress or a skirt, whatever, I felt like I was in drag. I couldn't carry it off. It just didn't feel good. It felt really false.
Okay, and how were your relations with your family during all these changes? Were they supportive?
Remarkably good. They were. I mean, originally when I was 40 and I came out as a lesbian, and I remember being, I remember the first moment that I thought to myself, this is it, this is, I have to do this. And I came out, and I remember I did get quite drunk to phone my mum, and it was kind of a non-event, really. It was just like, oh, okay then, that's nice. It was just, there was no shock or anything like that. It was just accepted. So that was fine. And then when I a few years later, when I came out as transgender, that was equally as accepted. Both of my parents said, well, we always knew you should have been a boy. And I was kind of like, well, she told me. But they'd always thought that that's how I should be. And my father had always said that every time he looked at photographs of me. And I was always doing boys' things. And it was always, she should have been a boy. So they were fine. They were absolutely fine with it. I think the only thing my mother had reservations about was she was worried for me. She was worried that maybe things would be very difficult for me, that would be hard, that I might face abuse from people. That was the one thing that she was mostly worried about. You know, but my father was, he just took to it straight away. Got my name right immediately, got my pronoun right immediately. I mean, my mum still gets it wrong. And my brothers, both my brothers have been fine about it as well. My younger one, I don't know, I don't really have much contact with him. I haven't had for a while now. And I'm not really sure if there's something to do with that in it, which is kind of sad. I don't think he really gets it. I think he's struggled with it. But, you know, it's my life, and that's it. I'm happy. I'm happier than I've ever been in the whole of my life. So it's kind of, in a selfish way, it's kind of, well, sorry, but this is for me. If you don't like it, then that's kind of tough, to be honest. And he's had plenty of time to get used to it.
You're now training to be a counsellor.
I am, yes, yes. That's, yeah, that's brought up a whole load of other sort of dilemmas with the whole sort of transgender thing, because contrary to belief, the counselling community in general don't really know an awful lot about transgender, and I've kind of come up against it with my peers in college. There's been quite a lot of, not exactly directed at me, but there has been conversations which have been quite transphobic, and that's been very, very hard to listen to and also have the courage to challenge it. It's quite hard in the moment when you hear something being said and you're not out to the rest of your classmates. So what do you do in that moment? How do you challenge it and keep yourself safe? So it's been quite challenging, but you know, I did a presentation not long ago and on transgender, and I outed myself in the process, which was fine. I chose to do it, and it actually went down incredibly well. People were quite, I don't think they were shocked, I think they were surprised, but in a good way. And it's opened up an awful lot of dialogue. A lot of my peers have actually gone off and done their own research and come back to me and said, oh, you know, I looked at this, or I've seen that television program. And so it's really nice that they've gone out and, you know, sort of talked about it and looked for stuff. So I kind of feel that what I set out to do was accomplished.
And are you intending to specialise in counselling other people that are transitioning? Not necessarily.
That's kind of my hope, that I want to do that, because counselling, LGBT counselling is, especially the transgender side of it, you don't find many counsellors who are transgender. There's not many that I personally know of. And by all accounts, with agencies I've spoken to, there aren't very many at all, especially, certainly openly transgender. And it's very, very difficult for the transgender community to get counselling, to get appropriate counselling. I mean, counselling is expensive anyway, and if you're on a low income, which a lot of transgender people are, it's impossible unless you can get a concession. And so the other thing, of course, with counselling is getting a counsellor who knows something about transgender, because not all of them do. It's not something that is part of the training. It's a choice to sort of learn more by taking extra courses afterwards. So a lot of counsellors, and I've experienced them myself as well, where they don't know anything about it and they use you as the source of information for their learning, or they think that you're there because you're transgender, or all of your problems are because you're transgender. And that's kind of hard, because transgender people also have the same problems as people who aren't transgender. So I'm hoping that, yeah, that I can specialise, and it's going to be a lot of work, though, that's the thing. Because even though I'm transgender, I don't know everything. So there's going to be a lot of hard work in the future, without a doubt.